Peter on the inside, his heart is cold, but he is not living in sin. Peter on the inside, his heart was cold, and he's not committed some great, horrendous, horrible sin. Peter on the inside, his heart was cold. He's done nothing really wrong. Here's a man that some 3 hours later, or earlier, he's having a prayer meeting with Jesus Christ. I mean, he's praying with Christ. Yes, he fell asleep, but he's in a prayer meeting with our Lord and Savior. A man 3 hours earlier, he looked at the Lord and he said, although that they'll deny thee, he said, I will never deny thee. A man that had been in the upper room with our Lord and Savior. A man that his feet had been washed by the very hands of Jesus Christ. A man that partook of that Last Supper. He's praying with Jesus. He's walking with Jesus. He's living with Jesus. He's following Jesus. And you find he's in the inner circle of Jesus. And his heart is cold. And 3 hours later, I mean, you could ask Peter. You could talk to Peter. You could look at Peter and you would say that this man is on fire for God. But 3 hours later, he denies the Lord. Not once, not twice, but three times. Let me say tonight before we go any further, we can come to church. We can sit on the church pew. We can sing in the choir. We can teach Awanas or Sunday school class, be on the deacon board, or even preach the word of God and have a cold heart. I've been in services, and I know you have too, where the Lord has spoke to you, the Lord's dealt with you, the Lord's encouraged you, the Lord's helped you. You left that service on the mountaintop, ready to go, on fire for God, but yet my life, some hours later, a situation rises or a temptation rises or some problem arises, and I find myself, just like Peter, cold on the inside. We're living in a day, I believe, where God's people can get very cold. Their love for God has waxed cold. I believe you'd agree with me tonight, the temperature on the outside and the temperature that we are in is very wicked and it's very perverse. And over in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is speaking about those troubled times and those perilous times, and you can look at it as before the rapture, or you can look at it as it's already in the tribulation. But the Bible says, and because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. An age, a day, an hour that we are living in today where the love of God's people have waxed cold. You know, Pastor, they tell me that those that die from hypothermia, those that die from extreme cold, those that perish due to the temperature, they don't even realize that they're cold. I mean, they've been cold so long, they've been in that state so long, it's been cold so long that their body does not even realize that they're cold. They tell me that those that die from hypothermia, they no longer tremble. They no longer shake. Their teeth no longer chatter. You know, if you're cold and you're dying from this severe cold hypothermia and your body's trembling, your body's shaking, your teeth is chattering, that's a good thing. Your body is realizing, it's rejecting, and it's fighting that severe cold. But those that perish due to the cold, no longer tremble and shake. I wonder tonight, are you cold? I mean, you may come to church, it may be warm on the outside, you may look and see like Peter, that he's a man of God that's serving God, but does the things of God still make you tremble? Does the word, the preaching of God's word, the things of God still have a reverence deep inside your heart? It's a scary thought tonight It's a sobering thought tonight. It's a sad thought tonight, knowing tonight here in this great sanctuary at Fletcher First Baptist Church, here in this sanctuary alone, there may be some that's lost. Their eternal destination is hell, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. Lost, lost, lost. That's a scary thought. But it's just as scary knowing that there's saved, born again, child of God here tonight. That's been saved by the good graces of God. And on the inside, like Peter, you've been redeemed, you've been reconciled, but your heart is cold, cold, cold. I don't want to be cold. I don't want to get to the place where my love is waxed cold and I no longer tremble and fear and have a reverence from the things of God. It's easy to be cold in the environment we live in, but I don't want to be cold. Tonight I want to preach on the simple thought for just a moment. Come to the fire. If you're cold tonight, I'm glad we can see in the Word of God that we can come to a fire. On this night, Jesus was arrested, Jesus was tried, Jesus was mocked, and Jesus was beaten. And in verse number 18, we find that Peter comes to the fire and warms himself. Verse 18, the Bible says, "And the servants and the officers stood there who made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself." Peter comes to this fire. He's looking to get warm. He's going to get physical warmth, but he still lacks that spiritual warmth. He's looking to get warm. He's warm on the outside, but there's no warmth for that cold heart on the inside. This fire in John chapter, fire of coals in John chapter 18 is not sufficient for what Peter's needing. A fire of coals here is, it can't give what Peter is needing. But did you know there's another fire of coals? Two fires of coals in our Bible. Here in John chapter 18, a fire of coals made by servants and officers. A fire of coals made by the religious crowd. But there's another fire of coals found in John chapter 21. If you would turn to John chapter 21. This fire of coals in John chapter 18, Peter denies the Lord. But here, this fire of coals in John chapter 21, Peter's going to get right with the Lord. Verse number 1, chapter 21 of John. "After these things, Jesus shewed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise shewed himself, he himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Canaan in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. And Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship, and immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore now, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith to Peter, It is the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, driving the net of fishes. And as soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread." Do you see the story here that Peter and James and Nathanael, John, two other disciples are out fishing on the sea? They've caught nothing. John sees this one on the shore. He said, it is the Lord. Peter jumps in. He rushes. He sees his Lord. He sees the fire of coals. Brother Keith, I believe that Peter knew what was about to come. I believe he knew what this was all about. I mean, just a few days earlier, he remembers there being around that fire of coals, denying the Lord. But here, he denies the Lord three times. But at this fire of coals, the Lord's going to make him confess his love for him three times. Let me say tonight, if you have a cold heart, if you have a cold chamber, if you have a cold place deep inside, we can come to this fire. The fire of coals in John 18 and these fire of coals in John chapter 21 can't be further apart. They can't be farther opposite of each other. The fire of coals that Jesus made. Around this fire of coals, let me say, number one, that the conversation will be different. In John chapter 18, you know what that conversation was about. Are you one of those disciples? No, I don't know this man. Hey, we see you. You're one of those Jesus followers. You're one of those that walked and talked and lived with Jesus. No, I don't know this man. Hey, you're one of them. You're a Galilean. Your speech betrayeth thee. You sound like a Christian. You talk like a Christian. Peter said, no, I don't know him. And if my speech betrayeth me, how about this? And he cusses and he cusses and he cusses. But the conversation around this fire coals is so much bitter. It's so much better. There's bitterness in John 18. Pastor, I believe a cold heart, those cold chambers deep inside, it'll end up coming out of our conversation. What's in here will come out here. Jesus said, from out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When your heart starts getting cold, let me say, it'll show up in your conversation. Instead of coming and magnifying the Lord, it'll be murmuring. Instead of praising God, it'll be putting down. Instead of edifying and exalting and exhorting, it'll be a conversation of dissent and complaining. But around this fire of coals in John chapter 21, it's a different conversation. Look at John chapter 21, verse number 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Look at verse number 16. He saith unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Verse 17, he saith him to a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. It's a different conversation. You say, preacher, how do I get rid of this cold heart? This bitterness on the inside? This thing that's deep in the chambers of my heart? I know this is deep, but just tell the Lord you love him. He makes Peter do it three times. But let me say tonight, before we go further, it's hard to tell the Lord that you love him. It's hard to tell the Lord sincerely, passionately, and mean it when you have a cold heart. I need to be careful on this application. I've been married 24 years to my wife. And you could say just a few times in those 24 years, we've had a difference in points of view. In those 24 years, just a couple of times, we've had a different outlook on way things should happen. You could go as far as saying in 24 years, we've may had a spat or two. And I love my wife dearly. She knows it sincerely, passionately. But during those times when I have a cold heart to her, she has a cold heart to me, although I love her sincerely, before I leave to go throughout my day, you have to say I love you. I'll leave, I'll go and go out the door and say, love you. Before she goes to bed at night, she'll say, love you. But out of a cold heart, it's hard to tell each other that we truly, sincerely, passionately, and dearly love each other. It's the same coming to church. God saved you. You're born again. He's pulled you, snatched you from the pits of hell, wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, giving you eternal life. You truly love him. You come, but because of a cold heart, you'll sing in the choir. Love you. You'll come to the altar and put on that facade and say that little prayer. And Lord, I know you died for me. I know you saved me. I appreciate all you've done for you. I love you. But when that veneer is stripped away, and when that heart is no longer cold, and when you think of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for you, it's no longer I love you, but it's Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee. It's hard to tell the Lord you love him and mean it with a cold heart. Around this fire of coals, it's a completely, completely different conversation. Verse 15, the Bible says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Peter, do you love me more than these? I'm so glad the Holy Ghost has inspired John to write that, because you can look at these in a variety of ways. I mean, there's John, and there's James, and there's Nathaniel, and two other disciples. He looks at Peter, and maybe he says, talking about the disciples, talking about these, says, Peter, do you love me more than these? What are these? These, is he talking about these fish? 153 fish. You know, that was Peter's passion. That was Peter's desire. I mean, he loved fishing. He told him, I'd go with fishing. That was his desire. That was his lifestyle. Peter, do you love me more than your desire to fish? Do you love me more than catching all these fish? What are these? Is he talking about these things in your heart? Do you love me more to let go of these things in your heart, this bitterness and this cold heart of yours? Do you love me more than these? What is it in your life? What are those these in your life? He's asking us, do you love me more than these? You may disagree with me, and that's fine, but I believe that Peter denied the Lord, not because he was scared. I mean, you ask someone, why did he deny the Lord around that fire of coals? Because he's scared. Peter's scared? Oh, no, I believe the only place I can find Peter was afraid, and the only thing Peter was scared of was wind, waves, water, and spirits that walk on water. But a few officers, a few servants, a little damsel, Peter afraid? Oh no. They come to arrest Jesus. We preached last week, a great crowd of soldiers, the servants of the high priest, and it was Peter alone, that drew his sword, ready to die for our Lord and Savior, fight to the death, lay down his life to protect the one that he loved and the one he cared about. Peter afraid? Oh no. He's defending Jesus. He's protecting Jesus. He's going to defend to death the one he loves. And the one that he loves says, Peter, put up your sword. In front of this great crowd that he's ready to fight, ready to kill, ready to take death on. In front of that crowd, in front of the world, Jesus says, Peter, put your sword up. Jesus publicly tells Peter to put his sword up. I can just think what Peter was going through in his mind. Lord, if that's the way you want it, if that's the way you want it to turn out, fine. Peter's bitter. Peter has a cold heart. All because the Lord did not do it the way Peter thought it should be done. I wonder tonight, has the Lord did things in your life and he didn't turn out exactly the way you expected? These things, those things in your life that you prayed for and you begged God for, and they just didn't work out the way you would expect it to work out. Around the fire tonight, the Lord's asking us, do you love me more than these? It's hard to tell him we love him with these things in our heart. What are these things in your life? Something has to go for us to say tonight, truly to mean it tonight, passionately and sincerely mean it. Thou knowest all things, Lord. Thou knowest I love thee. Come to the fire. The fire is different. This conversation's different. Let me say at this fire in John chapter 21, at the fire of coals in John chapter 18, you can find not only a conversation's different, but you'll find a cook and you'll find some cuisine. Look at verse number 9. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on there and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Verse number 12. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. John chapter 18. Peter comes to that fire, has a cold, has a bitter heart. He's disappointed in the way things turned out. He comes to the fire looking for warmth, and he doesn't get what he needs. That fire of coals had no food. That fire of coals couldn't fill him. That fire of coals had no cuisine or had no cook. It had nothing to offer Peter. He come to that fire of coals cold, hungry, and empty. And he left that fire of coals cold, hungry, and empty. But at this fire, notice the cuisine. There's fish and there's bread. Let me say tonight, if you never partake of the manna, of the bread, of the Word of God, you will have a cold heart. It's essential to our spiritual well-being for us to partake of the bread of that God gives us. Pastor, I truly believe tonight, if everyone in this congregation tomorrow would open the Word of God, and before they read the Word of God, would say, Lord, I pray that you would show me what you'd have me to see, that you'd speak to my heart. If there's anything inside me, reveal and let me see some truths of the Word of God. And read His Word for just a few minutes. And then on Tuesday, open the Word of God and pray, Lord, show me what you'd have me to see. Lord, speak to my heart. Lord, reveal my heart to me and read the Word of God for a few minutes. And do that Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I believe Sunday morning, the service would be different. But not only the service would be different, the saints of God would not have a cold heart. There's food at this fire of coals. There's fish and there's bread. But I also see the good grace and the mercy of our Lord. In verse 12, the Bible says, Jesus saith to them, come and dine. Jesus knows that Peter's heart's cold. Jesus knows that Peter's heart's bitter, but he feeds him anyway. How many times in your life you haven't been to where you need to be and you've had that cold chamber, that thing that's not right inside, but Jesus is telling us to come on and dine. You're here tonight, saved, sanctified, on fire for God. He's telling us to come and dine. But you may be like Peter, saved, but you have that coldness deep inside. You want to know what he's telling you? Come and dine. Come and dine. The master calleth, come and dine. You can feast at this table, at these fires of coal all the time. At this fire, there's a cook, there's cuisine. You can come and dine. At this fire of coals, you can conversate with the Lord. Lastly, and I'm done, at this fire of coals, let me say there's some conviction. What a blessing. What a gift conviction is. Where would we be without conviction? Turn with me for just a moment to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter number 22. Verse number 60. This is the fire of coals in John chapter 18. Same account. Verse number 60. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he spake, the cock crow. Peter's denied the Lord at the fire of coals in John chapter 18. He doesn't know the Lord. The conversation's different. He denies the Lord. But look at verse number 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, behold, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Do you see the conviction? Peter's under the conviction. God, the Son, looks at Peter. And Peter is under conviction. And he runs out. And he leaves. He ran away from the Lord instead of running to the Lord. It ought to break our heart tonight, knowing that almost probably every service, that there's someone in our midst that God the Holy Ghost is convicting for salvation. But yet, instead of running to the Lord, coming to the fire of coals, they leave and run away from the Lord. Someone in our service, God the Holy Ghost convicts, and he's spoke to, and he's looked at, and he's dealt with about getting that heart right, that coldness, that bitterness out. And instead of running to the altar, they run away from the Lord. But look at the conviction. Look at the conviction in John chapter 21. John chapter 21, verse number 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. Peter was grieved. It was a godly sorrow. Peter's there and he's not going to run away from the Lord. But he's in the presence and he runs to the Lord. There's conviction at this fire of coals. I wonder tonight, is the Lord speaking to you? What are these things in your life? I'm glad we can come to the fire. You need salvation? The Lord spoke to you. Do you know that you're lost? Don't run away. Why don't you run to this fire of coals where Jesus is? Maybe you're here tonight. It's something that I deal with. I believe it's something with every saint of God deals with, is letting the coldness of the world, the coldness of sin, creep into your life. He's built the fire of coals. We can tell him we love him. We can tell him we want to serve him and we want to come to him and be around him. He's given us the invitation. Come and dine. Come and dine. Let's all stand tonight. Sawyer, if you'll come to the piano. I wonder tonight if he spoke to you about these things. These things in your heart. These things in your life. This altar is open. We can find help at the fire of coals that Jesus has prepared for us. Sawyer plays, whatever your need is. Why don't you come and tell him you love him? He's prepared the table. Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for this opportunity.